What's up, you guys? Sean Ross at FightfulSelect.com. It is Q&A time. Let's go ahead and get into it. Manuel says, since Sammy G said he was leaving Daly's place for a while, do you think we could see him on Strong or Impact? Yes, I do think we could see him on Strong or Impact. Neither one would surprise me, although Impact is likelier. It wouldn't surprise me at all if New Japan was like, oh, hey, maybe let us use Sammy if Kenta is there. But here's the thing. They're already getting to use Moxley. It's just that Moxley got held up. I don't know how one would barter that deal. I'm very intrigued by this. Hopefully I can interview Tony Khan in 2021 and kind of gain some more information on something like that. Because I think it's so fascinating. But I would not be surprised to see him in either place. Jake said, any chance that Nick Aldis moves on from the NWA? He's hardly been doing anything since the pandemic started. Well, he's very committed to the NWA. I can tell you that based on personal conversations with him. He is very passionate about the NWA. I can tell you that based on personal conversations with him. As far as since the pandemic started, he didn't wrestle, I don't think, until like August. But he did an Indie Expo in Texas. He did the UWN show in September. He filmed the match for Shockwave at UWN, and he did Magnum Pro, where he took on Jason Strife, and three of those, he defended the title. So he has been active in keeping that title defended. He signed through the year, according to the release that came out there. Jake says, are you hoping GCW will take the proper protocols so they can safely put on shows for Mania weekend? My dude, they've been requiring negative tests ever since the collective mess. That was something that they spoke about, they being Brett Lauderdale, in the interview that we did. Now, what gets contracted between the negative test and them getting there, you know, I don't think that is safe enough for my personal tastes. I don't think so. But they have improved significantly since the GCW collective, so That's good news, but I mean, there's risk. There's a lot of risk for any of this stuff. I will not be going to Tampa unless I'm vaccinated and I get both my doses and the date has cleared through. I will not be going to Tampa. I've had some offers to do some stuff in Tampa, and I'm not doing it. Not as of right now. So I can tell you that personally, I feel like it's not safe enough for me. But how other people sort of manage that is on them, and hopefully they do it responsibly. Anakin says, will WrestleMania just have live fans, or will there be Thunderdome fans as well? The original plans called for just live fans. I don't think that there was a Thunderdome integration. That is an ongoing thing. Anakin says, you reported that Jess Manduk is primarily focusing on creating content for Up, Up, Down, Down. Any idea if that was a factor in negotiations for Cesaro, as he's become a huge part of the channel? I did not speak to Cesaro, so I can't say whether or not that was part of it. I haven't spoken to anybody about his motivations, so I don't know his motivations. I can assume, though, however. Anakin says, at this point, I can only see Roman losing the title via a cash-in on the Raw or SmackDown after Mania next year. Do you think the Roman storyline can go that long, or should they aim to get the title off him sometime this year? I think they should keep the title on Roman Reigns until he is not white hot anymore, and then heat him up by taking the title off of him, giving him a new motivation, so to speak. Right now, I don't see anybody that's taking the title off of him. And until that happens, let it go. Same thing with Becky. Like, I didn't see anybody that was going to take the title off of her, except pregnancy. And I didn't see that coming at all. Jake says, any updates on AOP, and where do you think is the best fit for them whenever they sign? Well, it depends on what you mean. I think they would fit great in AEW because they care about tag team wrestling. I don't know their visa situations, and I'm trying to find out. But I think that they would fit anywhere. Impact needs a shot in the arm with their tag team division. ROH needs personalities and something different, even though they're going for a more sports presentation. There's a story with AOP and the Acclaimed that will be told in the future, I hope. Jake also says, do you think the Dusty Cup has too much of an odd pairing in its history, especially with winners of it in the past? Yes, I do. The Baron Corbin Rhino thing was very weird. At least the Broserweights were intended to be a team and they caught fire accordingly. But yeah, the odd pairing, it works here and there, but when you have so many tag teams on your roster, utilize those. Who says it has to be just NXT talent? You guys script the show. I don't mind it every once in a while, but man, there have been so many. Like Kota Ibushi and TJ Perkins, Rude and Dillinger. I mean, they're all over the place. Pete Dunne and Roderick Strong. Every year there's one that goes really far. Aleister Black and Ricochet, which they turned into a regular team for a while. To me, the best was last year because it wasn't that much. And I mean, the Bruiserweights, again, they did win, but they had formed a team. So yeah, I do think they rely on that too heavily. Jake says, with Cutler's firing for missing tapings and the backlash on Twitter, any backstage heat with Casey Catanzaro based on recent social media posts? There is heat on almost everybody that has been seen out partying without masks, to some degree from at least some people. So when you say any heat, yes, there is at least a little bit of heat, because I can tell you that I've spoken to wrestlers that are like, what the hell are they doing? Do they not realize how dangerous this is? And, yeah. Sheila, oh, by the way, congrats on your marriage, Sheila. So happy to see that. You all looked wonderful. She says, do you think the New Japan Roku deal is a letdown? Speaking of someone who doesn't use Roku because I use other streaming apps like Netflix, Hulu, Disney, HBO, Pluto TV, and I wonder if it's worth looking into. I have had a Roku TV for years. I have never once used the Roku channel. Yes, I think it is a massive letdown. A massive letdown. I was disappointed by it. Very. I don't know what more to say besides that. Good God. I thought this was going to be something substantial. It's a bummer. So I would imagine so. And I know if people wanted to stay optimistic about it. Yeah. Is there a chance WWE is going to try to change things up and we might have new champs going into WrestleMania? If you mean world champs, I don't think so. If you mean other champs, I think yes. I think there's a chance we see new women's tag team champs and a new Raw women's champion at the very least. Maybe U.S. I don't think the Intercontinental title will change, though. Sheila says, there a possibility Double or Nothing could still happen in Vegas or not. This weekend it'll be a year since I bought tickets for the event, and I never requested for a refund after I got delayed to 2021. Yes, I think there is a possibility that it happens. They are playing this thing, obviously, about a month or two ahead of time and kind of seeing how everything works. May, at the end of May, is more of an opportunity for people to get vaccinated and them to put people there. I don't know if they'll request like proof of vaccination, anything like that, but that's one that I'm like, all right, maybe there's a chance that I'll have both vaccination doses there. The end of May compared to early April, like WrestleMania, there's a little bit more cushion there. So AEW has that benefit. But yeah, I think there's a possibility, but I haven't heard anything as of yet. Zach Amon says, give it to me straight, SRS. Did Blake Christian sign with WWE? Well, I'll give it to you straight like this. I asked him for an interview. I haven't heard back. Almost, I would say about 95% of independent wrestlers, if I ask them for an interview, they'll do an interview with me, and I just haven't heard back from him. The last ones that did not get back to me on an interview that are independent wrestlers were Lacey Ryan and Alex Zane. They are both signed by WWE now. JJ says, Sean, I find it so cool that wrestlers like Luther, who watch Fightful and The Distraction, are there any more that also watch reviews and The Distraction that is common knowledge? Well, I can't give them away if they're not common knowledge, because they'll get heat for it. But MJF has posted pretty publicly that he has watched our show and has insulted it a few times. JJ says, since you're a former Quizlemania champion, I take part in Fan Quizlemania. Any training advice that you can give? So I don't necessarily train for things like that, because the things that they'll pick from an eBay perspective are very, very difficult. I would advise spend a little time cruising WWE shop. That definitely helped. That's about the only training I've done. The thing is, the reason why I'm usually good at those is because I maintain the resources section at Fightful. So if like it's every King of the Ring winner, every G1 winner, well, I mean, I personally put out an article that covered that, and I had to be familiar with that. Royal Rumble, obviously, I've watched every single one multiple times for various articles. That stuff helps. I had a very, very specific, like, on-paper memory of champions up until about, I want to say, 2001. And since then, it's a little bit harder. But I think in reverse now, who had the title, then who'd they win it from, et cetera, et cetera. So that helps me with a lot of the recall. And I've been very lucky in that if I don't know one, usually the person who is up gets it. Like, I would say about 80% of the time that's happened. But there have been some that, like, I wasn't that familiar with the PWI 500 list. I didn't do well there. So I would say look at Wikipedia pages, especially. Know heights, weights, birth location, stuff like that, which to me is usually pretty easy. But those are the things I would suggest doing mostly. Zach says, what have been the thoughts of former NWA wrestlers on NWA ever coming back? Seems like they're going to have to reach deep. I haven't spoken to Danny Jordan. Ricky Starks was just, you know, he passed up a deal and left. But he's not going to do anything with NWA anymore. Thunder Rosa, I'm going to hopefully interview her soon. But I don't know what her thoughts are. I know that she was very enamored by AEW when she headed over there. Zicky Dice has no interest in ever going back to NWA ever again. Zach says, when will be the next Performance Center tryout, and who do they have their eye on in terms of talent? Well, Parker Boudreaux didn't even go through a regular tryout, but I don't know when the next one is scheduled. They've got a big class coming in soon, though. Ben says, people, including Jimmy Van, keep questioning the financial benefits for AEW working with Impact and in NWA. But surely this isn't about profit. Could this just be a case of mega rich wrestling fanatic being able to enjoy something that he's making in doing it his own way, almost similar to Jimmy's attitude to Fightful? Well, I mean, I've said that to Jimmy multiple times on the air. I think it's very similar to Jimmy's attitude with Fightful. He wanted to launch a wrestling website, an MMA and boxing website as well, but we've learned that streamlining the MMA and boxing sides are a lot better because there's not a lot of money to be made in that coverage for us right now. But yeah, he wanted to break news and he wanted to do entertaining stuff, and that's what we're doing. And I point that out to him all the time. It's not always about money. They're not a public company. Ben says, on that note, how much different do you think AEW's partnerships will have on luring away wrestlers from WWE? I don't think significantly, unless they get in with New Japan. I think that could be a big difference maker. It worked for Ring of Honor years ago. Ben says, you may have answered this somewhere already, but what are your predictions for the AEW Women's Eliminator, and who do you think the surprise winners might be? I think it should be Britt Baker. I don't think it will be I don't think it'll be anybody on the Japanese side. I think Maki Ito stands a pretty good chance. I see Aja Kong, Emi Sakura, Maki Ito, and Yuka Sakazaki advancing. I think that they should have Maki Ito beat Aja Kong. I think Yuka Sakazaki should defeat Emi Sakura, because what they were doing with Emi Sakura when she was here was not good. And then if you go Ito or Sakazaki, either one of those are good for that end of things. But Britt Baker should defeat Anna Jay. She should beat probably Nyla Rose as well. I think that Britt Baker needs to have a real big run. And then you lead to the U.S. Finals, Thunder Rosa or Serena against Britt Baker. And Britt should win. It should be her. Build the division around her. Cameron says, is there anyone that has been with Fightful since day one? Well, besides myself and Jimmy Van, obviously, Alex Palowski has been there since day one. He was doing reviews of Main Event on Cage Side Seats, and I reached out to him because I thought they were so funny. They were so good, and I was like, this is the kind of guy I want to have. And Ryan Cook, a name who you guys have never seen on video with us, he has been doing live coverage for almost 5 years for us now, various ones as well. So he's been around. Almost everybody else came along after that. Carlos Toro still freelances for us. He did our quarterlies. He has an interview in the can with La Rosa Negra that is coming out soon. But he, I mean, I still consider him a part of the family, so to speak, in that regard. But yeah, still a few of them. Do you feel like you're not able to have many opinions on what will happen with people, as that will be taken as news by people? Yes, I do. Now, I try to just say, whatever, who cares? And one day, I'll do a show that's just like all opinions or something like that. Because I know that some of you guys want to ask those questions, and that's fine. If you give a shit, I appreciate it. But yeah, I've had to be more calculated about what I say. Careful to a degree, but I'm still going to say what I want. Sean Garner says, could Karen Q be the Tian Sha character? Yes, she could be. How long do you think it will be before we get full arena live crowds again? Probably end of the year. Sean also says, who do you think gets called up after Mania? I would not be shocked to see Caden Carter called up. I know it's like out of left field, but there is no rhyme or reason for this stuff, right? I would not be surprised at this point to see Undisputed Era called up and then somebody else sent down for them. Somebody like Tyler Rust and Malcolm Bivens wouldn't surprise me at all if they just, bam, out of nowhere got called up. Ever Rise, like these are the things. It might not always be such obvious names. Finn Balor wouldn't surprise me at all if they sent him back up and sent somebody else back down. Cameron Grimes seems like a guy that Vincent McMahon would absolutely love. So maybe him. Also, Raquel and Dakota. I could see them winning the tag titles. And then when they lose it, it's just like, oh, well, here they are on SmackDown all the time. Like, I could just see them doing that. And that would be such a WWE thing to do, right? Nathan says, just want to come back and say thanks for all the laughs you and Fightful have given me through these hard times. Well, thank you for laughing along with us. I appreciate you. I appreciate that you appreciate our humor as well. He also says, I've been watching Lucha Underground again. I can't get over how good their production was, especially the camera work. Do you have any idea how big of a production they had? It was pretty substantial. They had a nice budget on them. The wrestlers didn't get paid all that great in totality, but it was a pretty big undertaking to the point to where I would see a lot of these wrestlers live, and I'm like, why aren't they as good? And then I realized it's because of the exceptional production that they had, and they couldn't find anybody to finance it after four seasons. So it was a good platform that helped out a whole lot of people, but could not sustain as a result of those high production values. Paul says, I don't think I've seen ROH make an announcement regarding him, but you know the status of Dalton Castle. I thought I read somewhere his contract was expiring. It did expire. They are still in the running, and they still believe they had a chance, though. Do you see Paige Van Zandt going to the pro wrestling route anytime soon? Seems like she'd be a slam dunk to succeed, especially in WWE. Okay, I would argue that I have covered the crossover of MMA and pro wrestling as much as anybody over the last 5 years, and I don't think that she would be that much of a slam dunk to succeed. I know a lot of people think that because of how she looks, because she is a beautiful blonde woman in incredible shape and has a combat sports background. I get it. Those are not the prerequisites to succeed anymore. Being good at wrestling and having a vivid personality are. She does not have the personality that makes me go, wow, pro wrestler. I'll tell you who does. Jenny Savage. And a lot of you guys are saying, who in the fuck is Jenny Savage? Well, let me tell you. I happen to know Jenny Savage because I called a bunch of her fights. And I was not surprised at all when she had been calling out Paige Van Zandt for months and months and months and months. And she is a very, I don't want to say a green pro, but a relatively new pro MMA fighter. Been a pro, I think, for maybe a year or two. However, she fought in Bare Knuckle Fighting Championships, where Paige Van Zandt is now. BKFC saw all this. They saw this beautiful, jacked woman with a fighting background who cuts promos. And they're like, oh, well, we can have her call out Paige Van Zandt. We can bring her to the show. And she can get into the cage afterwards. And we'll set up this big fight after Paige Van Zandt wins. But Paige Van Zandt didn't win. But still, Jenny Savage hit the ring and got in the face of the woman that did beat Paige Van Zandt. I don't think that Paige Van Zandt would ever do that herself. I don't think that she necessarily has that gear, so to speak. You know what I mean? To be like, oh, so the situation changed? Well, I'm going to change my situation from an on-screen perspective. Now, I get it. She has said in the past, oh, I've talked to WWE, and I could do this, and I could do that. Well, a year and a half ago when James Lynch interviewed her for Fightful, she was still calling WWE wrestlers WWE divas. And if she was that enamored by it, and if she thought she'd be that good at it, she would have done a little reading, she would have done a little research, she would have figured out a little bit of something. This ain't Bad Bunny we're talking about here. Bad Bunny ain't going to call people WWE divas, because Bad Bunny watches the product. Bad Bunny, this is his dream. It's not. For Paige Van Zandt, it's an opportunity. Now, I'm not saying that it has to be somebody's dream. Look at Jessamyn Duke. Wrestling was not her dream. It was an opportunity. She took it, she ran with it, and she's got something else now. I don't think that Paige Van Zandt is going to go that route. And when you look at people from the past, who were some of the main ones that people said, wow, they would be a success if they crossed over? Tito Ortiz, how'd that work out? It didn't. Quentin Rampage Jackson, how'd that work out? Oh, it didn't. King Mo, how'd that work out? Well, it's working out a lot better now than it did 8-9 years ago, the first time they tried it, and it didn't work out. Ronda Rousey, it worked out. Daniel Cormier, where's he at? Haven't seen him. Haven't seen him pop up over here. Not a one person was saying Matt Riddle would be a success in pro wrestling when he was in MMA. Nobody was making that comparison. In fact, I was the first person, I'm pretty sure, to ever bring up pro wrestling in an interview with Matt Riddle. It was in 2014 when he was training for his last MMA fight. And I was just trying to establish my foothold as a crossover coverage guy. And I was like, man, would you ever be interested in pro wrestling? And he told me that after that, after he was like, yeah, I think I would. I always wanted to. He watched WrestleMania that year and he was like, I'm going to do this. Nobody expected him. I didn't expect him when I asked him the question. I was just trying to get a headline. So, I mean, I look at Paige Van Zandt. I know this is a long-winded answer, but that's what you're here for, right? I've never saw her and said, damn, she would rock in pro wrestling. Maybe she would. Maybe she would. Who knows? Shayna Baszler was one we knew would be good. I don't think a lot of people knew that she would be as great as she is. But that the hit rate is not as high. Now, they do have a much bigger head start because of athleticism, visual appeal, familiarity with the limelight, and a lot of stuff like that. But I've never looked at her and saw what a lot of other people did in that regard. Matt says, are you predicting any title changes Sunday for NXT? Kushida, I think. We have a full predictions video with Tempest up on YouTube.com/Fightful. Paul Moss says, do you see a takeover taking place during Mania Week, or is WWE limiting things to just a two-day Mania? I know Triple H ideally would like that, but with a two-day Mania, I think that's going to throw things in flux. And maybe what they'll do is like do a gigantic WrestleMania Week show. That's what I would do. I would do something Wednesday or Thursday. I think that would be pretty cool. Matt Payne says, thoughts on Lio Rush holding two belts, now one for MLW and one for AAA. Good for him. I will say this again, I've said it a million times. I think in the ring, he is the Rey Mysterio of this generation. And if he gets a big opportunity and grasps it, I'm talking AEW or WWE again, I think he'll capitalize on it. A lot of people have a lot of issues with me. He's always been good to me. I do believe the things that individual wrestlers have told me about the issues and maturity and stuff. But people can grow up. Ray says, I know the Super Bowl just happened, but you know if WWE and NFL have been in contact about the best ways to have fans at Raymond James? I don't know, but I know that WWE was scouting the situation. Ray Callahan says, I fully understand if you can't or won't because of sourcing and etc. So if this isn't okay, just skip this one. Can you shoot softly on Corey Graves? Something makes me feel like you two would get along really well. In the few conversations I've had with Corey Graves, we have gotten along really well. Here's the funny thing. I remember specifically, I don't know if it was one guy or if you guys thought that he was like a secret source for me when I was getting scripts. He was not. I never say who they were, but I will say who they were not. It was not Corey Graves. Anytime I've spoken with Corey Graves and something has made Fightful, he has attached his name to it. So the Royal Rumble feature. I reached out to him and I was like, hey man, I spoke to Matt Stryker. I would love to get some insight from you on calling a Royal Rumble match. And he was like, yeah, let me know what you need. If it's all thumbs up, I'll attach my name to it and we'll be good to go. And he did that. A few years ago, he had posted something about CM Punk. And I feel like he had said something like, oh, the websites won't run this, but... And I said, well, let's talk and I'll run it. And he said, I want to make sure my name is attached to this. I respect that a lot because there are a lot of people in WWE, even listening to this, who do not want their names attached to things. I'm not going to say they're scared. They just don't want their names attached to things. There is a stigma with some people about talking to people that do my job. Other people don't give a shit. There are some people that will publicly tweet me that I don't even use as sources and don't talk to otherwise. Corey Graves is one of those people. Like, he'll put his name if he's going to say it. He's not going to give you anything anonymously. And I don't know if that's like a compliment or whatever, but it's a preference of his. I respect that. I respect any way that people do it, actually. But I think that's pretty cool that he has been willing to do that a couple times. And I greatly thank him for it. Ray says, with the Forbidden Door being opened, TK mentioned six-man tags possibly coming this year. Do you know if these will be new titles, or do you think he's maybe teasing the Never titles coming over? I would expect them to be new titles. I would expect him to want to have control over that. Matt Payne says, excited for the new MLB The Show. If you do a career mode, which position do you usually play? I am usually a pitcher. I love it. It calms me down. I have ADHD very bad, which you guys have heard me mention a lot more over the past year and a half because I sort of came out about my battles with it and how hard it is for me to focus. But the rhythm of pitching, the sounds, the windup, the meter, all that stuff, it really helps sort of calm me down and all that. Avery Dunn says, only answer if comfortable. If not, I don't need an answer. I remember at StarCast, you had a brief run-in with a manager over something so ridiculous on her end, and everything else seemed great with her boyfriend and Fightful. Has that relationship been mended since they've joined NXT? I don't think it's a big secret now. Like, I did an interview with Karrion Kross at StarCast, and I'll go into detail more on the Sean Ross stories we do on StarCast Vegas weekend, but I asked Karrion Kross for an interview, and I knew that he had just done an interview, and obviously he got asked something he wasn't cool with. So I was like, listen, man, we'll just talk about catch wrestling, we'll talk about some MMA, stuff like that. And he was like, yeah, sure, well, I'll do this. And it was the first time I met him, and Scarlett did not seem thrilled about it, and she said some things, and again, I'll go into detail about that in the future, but she also flipped off the camera when I was interviewing Sean Waltman. I don't know what that was about, but it happened. It's on video. It's not like some big secret or anything. There's a bunch of comments on that video about it. But I spoke to her a few months later in Chicago, and everything was fine, and I was like, what's up? She was like, I don't even remember. There was no apology or anything like that. But yes, it was very unusual. I've always gotten along with Karrion Kross. He and I have a lot of similar interests in that aforementioned crossover. Anybody that's got that MMA background, usually I'll have run in some of the same circles as them from a training standpoint. And I actually hadn't with him. So I was very interested to find out people that he had trained with and worked with and all that. I like him a lot. Avery says, who do you expect next to cross over from New Japan to AEW? Not necessarily who you would want, but who you would think would make sense most logistically during the pandemic. Tama Tonga and Tonga Loa, my friend. It's the one that makes sense to me. What do you do with KO after Elimination Chamber? It seems like they're going, that's where they're going. I'd hate for them to not prominently position him on Mania. I think that him and Daniel Bryan as a team could work if they're not going the title route with Daniel Bryan. Becky Daycarter says, do you think Mandy and Dana have a bright future as a tag team? With the way they've been booked recently, I can't see them getting near the titles anytime soon. Now that Mandy has improved in the ring, I'd love to have her back as a singles competitor. I don't think they'll win the championships. I hope they get to contend for them and show what they're doing. If they were booked to have a bright future, then yes, I think they would have a bright future. Luke says, any idea what's going on with Aleister Black? Yeah, he's not been at TV. They were kind of seeing how things hash out. I'll just say that. Raul Ortega said, saw a Super Bowl ad for a product you might be interested in reaching out to for a potential sponsorship. Dr. Squatch for Men. Wanted to throw it your way. I have multiple times. I even posted on Twitter that I use their product and I wish I could work out a deal with them. It doesn't work for everybody, unfortunately, as far as them wanting to do a deal. So hit them up. Let them know you guys want to see their product promoted on our show. I legitimately like it. Roel says, what day do you think AEW's second show will be on? I think either Thursday or Saturday. Roel also said, as a kid, was there a wrestler you were scared of or hated? I.e., I was terrified of Andre. I hated Ted DiBiase, but even then I knew I loved to hate him. I had the Million Dollar Man wrestling buddy. I had the action figure, but I loved the belt. I loved all of it. But yeah, there were a lot. All the heels I hated. And then I learned to love to hate him. Dev said, will a women's Dusty Classic tag title win ultimately end up in the call-up of Dakota and Raquel? As I mentioned earlier, I think so. I think if they win the titles, when they lose them, they'll just casually be brought back up. Or brought up. You know what I mean? Like, they'll just say, oh, well, here they are on Raw now. Byron Saxton, they would feed him that line and make him try to make sense of it, and he wouldn't. Well, that's just the way it is here. You never know what's going to happen to the WWE. Okay. Dev says, now that she's already beat Nia in a tables match, do you see Lana winning the tag titles with Naomi? Where would you like to see the story go? I want Naomi to be a heel, and I would like to see them win the tag titles and then lose them to Dakota and Raquel. I think that'd be a smooth transition, and Naomi could turn heel on Lana. Lana's very easy to get sympathy on these days, and I don't know if it'd be that easy for Naomi to not get sympathy because she's really good as a babyface, but I think it's time to freshen that up. Dev says, what is the mindset behind having champions lose championships for a month or less, thus interrupting a longer run? For example, Bayley, Asuka, and Drew, their reigns would be that much more impressive without the pointless break in their reigns. I don't have a reason for it. I've asked, and nobody ever tells me. I constantly get told convenient things like wins and losses don't matter. It adds to the story, and titles are props. And I never get a straight answer out of that. Drew is the most egregious. Bayley's helped set off her character. Asuka's was very weird. Drew's was the most egregious because Randy Orton did not need to win that title, and if he did, it should have been at SummerSlam. Bayley's, I kind of get it, but I also am like, man, that was a historic run that she had. Ronan says, what WrestleMania match that almost happened do you wish most happened at WrestleMania? Hogan and Flair. I wish that there was a Hogan and Flair match at WrestleMania. It's criminal that one didn't happen there. Have WWE given up on Velveteen Dream, or are they hoping the dust will settle? They are hoping the dust will settle. Shane says, was Rhea called up? Yes, she has been called up. She's on the main roster. Shane says, what's the latest buzz on the future of NXT regarding USA or Peacock? I asked Triple H this today. He did not have a solid answer for me. He talked about the flexibility and yada yada. I think they end up on Peacock Live. That's just my hunch. Kevin says, I'm sure this is happening to a lot of people, but have Evil and EO seen each other since the pandemic hit? I don't know. I'll try to find out, but I don't know. I don't have an answer for that. JJ says, what's your take on the large influx of NXT talent getting signed over the pandemic? Is this for a larger plan, like a second show, or purely to stop them from signing elsewhere? Any signings for WWE or AEW or even ROH you think are game changers? I think Lacey Ryan can be. I think Priscilla Kelly can be good as well. Alex Zane can be very good. But I think they're getting these people on shorter, smaller deals, and that's why we're seeing it happen. Do you think the ratings falling is purely out of people not caring for Edge or just not caring in general? Sorry, I got the hiccups. Let me pause this for a second. I'm back. It's because they don't care in general. That's all. John says, thanks for what you do. The constant content on Fightful's YouTube and Select helps me manage my depression and anxiety. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate you, and I appreciate that. And you guys helped me a lot with mine, so I'm glad that it could help you. With Cutler getting fired for having COVID, is there any heat on Casey Catanzaro, who based on social media has been out partying? As I mentioned earlier, yeah, there was a lot of people that are like, what are you talking about? And when I was talking to wrestlers, like, I came to the conclusion that I did not think it was a coincidence they waited 6 weeks to fire Steve Cutler the weekend before the Super Bowl. With you being a Reds fan, would you consider joining the White Sox fandom as your American League team in Midwest solidarity? We're a welcoming bunch. Sorry, John. It's got to be the Blue Jays on that side of things. I was on a Blue Jays Little League team. The Blue Jays were winners when I was kids. They had the cool new stadium, and I go to Toronto every year. I am committed to the city of Toronto. I love them a lot. Oliver Drake says, any NXT TakeOver news? Not a bit. Haven't heard a thing about it as of yet. Guys, thank you all so much for all of your questions. I appreciate all of you. I gotta go. My wife is bringing me a plate of bacon, and that is very important to me. Until next time, we're out.